I am Plata on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. North America's only feminist literary and arts festival, Growing Room, begins this week. How its champion diversity is lauded, as how the festival has featured established and emerging writers in the country. Joining me now is Jessica John. She is the managing editor of Room Magazine and a co-organizer of the Indigenous Brilliance Reading Series, a collaborative series between Room and Massey Books. The festival runs until the 15th of March. Visit roommagazine.com for more information on the events and the comprehensive and remarkable list of participants. I'll ask Ms. Johns about the 2020 festival's theme of world building and how this festival reflects a changing literary scene in Canada. Please welcome to the Plante Online program, Jessica Johns. Ms. Johns, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So this event this year will run from the 11th through the 15th of March, but there is one event before the 11th, is that right?
That's correct, yes. Every single year we're really excited to have a youth reading. Mm-hmm. So we're actually going to kick off the festival in a way we think is right, which is to sort of put the youth first. And so we're going to be opening with our youth reading on Monday, March 9th.
And that's last year was at Massey Books, is that right?
That's correct. And it's at Massey Books again this year, and it's ending from 7 to 9 p.m. at Massey Books, yeah.
85-plus authors, it just seems to me that this festival seems to grow year after row. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, last year we had, we had over 100, I believe.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
So it's less than last year, but the number of, our dates are shorter this year as well.
Uh-huh.
So last year the festival ran for 9 days, and this year we're running it for 5. We wanted to condense the number of days so we could really focus on foundational aspects of the festival we think are really important, such as author care and attendee care, and just sort of jam-pack it all into 5 days instead.
Yeah, and I should say that when I meant growth, I mean the demand for events and the sort, I mean the attendance for events, those remain high, don't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's, I think, a very big need for these kinds of events, and the public folks at large sort of they're excited and interested to come out, and our registration and attendance rates have grown every single year.
What do you think that says about what audiences want?
I think that it says that they want a lot more than has been provided to them by CanLit in the past, historically. They, want to see events that are queer-focused and that are, that put marginalized writers, or traditionally marginalized writers, I guess, mm-hmm. at the forefront, which this festival does. They want to see themselves reflected in events and in workshops, and they want to be a part of those conversations first and foremost. And they're the most exciting, the most exciting authors that are out there right now, I would say. So I think that it's reflective of what people are and have always been looking for, mm-hmm. and this is the place for it.
And what is the process like for all of you there as you plan an event like this in terms of sort of the considerations that you make in terms of the talent that you attract?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's twofold. We have a really big process for we have a programming committee that I sort of put together at the start of all of the planning, and they're people that are both within Room Magazine, the collective, and outside of it. And they're all really wonderful community members, and I felt that people would really bring, certain perspectives and care into curation. So part of it was working with them to create a festival that was multidisciplinary. So this year we really wanted to focus on an event that expanded beyond the, in quotations, like literary. So
yeah.
Just on you know, the written word, because we know storytelling exists in so many more ways than that. We know that it exists in music and in film and in movement. And so we really, you know, focused on that in a big way. And the other part of it was, I believe that if you want to create something, and especially like any event, but especially events like a festival that's such a large scale for the community, I believe you have to involve the community. Mm. So the other part of our curation and creative sort of, you know, the lineup of everything was then partly we had a call for applications for folks who wanted to pitch authors or artists individually, or if they wanted to pitch full events.
Yeah.
And we ended up working with 9 outside artists who pitched really wonderful events that really spoke to what they wanted to see. And that was a really wonderful process, because it was definitely a project in relationality. So we worked with them one-on-one to, you know, it wasn't just an accept and then that relationship was over. Yeah. We really worked to incorporate that in the festival in a good way, to include people we were already sort of considering and their ideas. And I think we have a really well-rounded festival that's intentionally community-driven for this reason.
And it says something.
So it's a really long process, actually.
But it also says something in terms of what or how engaged the audience is that they will pitch and have accepted these marvelous ideas that they have.
For sure, yeah.
What you touched on this a moment ago about the intersection of writing with other facets of the arts. I understand there'll be comedy events as well as music events. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Our opening night party is a musical event. So that features Tony Ganaba, Missy D, Chelsea D. Johnson, and DJ Denise. And our comedy event is called Something Funny, and it is a really nice mix of both authors that incorporate humor into their work, mm-hmm. And also just straight up comedians. So, you know, both will be represented there. And we also have a workshop with a musician named Ed Ziu, and they're going to be curating a workshop that's around sound and taking sound, I guess, bites, and then putting them all together in a soundscape. And, you know, those are really exciting things that I'm really happy to see incorporated in storytelling.
It's I guess, not only a sign of the surfeit of talent that we have in our midst, but it's also, I guess, a reality for artists, yes. In terms of how to make a living in this country, that you have to be nimble, you have to do various things, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's also, you know, it's not just having to, but so many artists are, they have such an array of talents. And I feel like some mediums sometimes, you know, it's not the right medium for telling a certain kind of story, mm-hmm. or it doesn't feel like the right medium. So, you know, there's very few artists that I know that only kind of write in one genre or just write. They also, you know, are musicians or visual artists or, you know, so I feel like, and they're always speaking to each other in a really big way. So I think that I think that that's important to sort of honor.
The festival each year is... reflects just how the state of Canada is changing. I guess the theme world building, I mean, that reflects that as well, doesn't it?
I think so. I think that at least what the intention was behind having the kind of festival that we have been, and this one in particular, we want to talk about these changes and talk about how, you know, we're able right now, or how we can right now put in foundations and build build strong structures for a future that we want to see. So I think it's really important as well that in the festival we're incorporating elements and conversations that kind of they're speaking to this.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of panels that are, you know, we have a panel that is dedicated to money in writing. Like it's an intersectional conversation about creative survival. This isn't a conversation that happens all the time and happens in such a public way, and it's really important. We have another conversation about another panel about self-love and community care and the ethics of community building. That's not strictly like a literary panel, but it's really important to communities to talk about the ethics of how we're doing this and how we're going to build this sort of thing together. And I think these conversations are important. And if we are going to think about future building, you know, they're conversations that need to be had.
Yeah, and it all points towards a better environment, a better literary scene across this country, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's, yeah, we've seen it in the past couple years that, as you said, we've seen a sort of changing Canadian literary landscape, and I think that that wasn't, I don't feel that that was just a short trend.
Right.
I feel like this is going to be continuing.
Are there certain people that you're excited to see? I was looking at the list of 85 plus authors and artists, and I mean, I'm already drawing up a list in my head. I'm sure you're the same.
Yes, so many. I'm really excited for Amy Lowe. I've collaborated with her on a couple of really fantastic events. She is holding a Accessing Ourselves, a workshop for deaf and folks with disabilities to kind of come together and share their work without the, you know, any sort of outside gaze on them and their work. And then also a Writing for Ourselves event where those same authors and others who have, you know, physical and invisible disabilities can share their work and their brilliance and, you know, just kind of, it's a bit of a round table, kind of go around and do that. And she's just brilliant in her own work as well, so I'm really excited to have her out. Amanda LaDuke, I'm really excited to see. I'm really excited that Carly Baker is going to be joining us. We also have Liz Howard coming out, and she's been a really big, I've been such a big fan of hers for so long, just personally. Gwen Benaway, who is absolutely brilliant, and her new collection, Daybreak, just came out. Helen Knott, who has just released her debut memoir, In My Own Moccasins, which I just finished and is, like, absolutely amazing. We have a lot of really amazing artists coming from Toronto, which, like, just kind of happened by accident. They just kind of all hang out there.
Yeah.
Like for Rebecca Fissa, and Rebecca Salazar. So those are a couple of people that I'm just very excited to have here and share in conversations with.
Yeah, the other thing I noticed during the festival on Twitter and Facebook is, I mean, people are talking about this stuff after attending events and the sort and then posting about them. There is a real sense of connection, a real sense of community that comes out of this. And this happens to even audience members who don't know these particular authors, but get to talk to them afterwards, right?
Yeah.
And so you must get feedback from authors in terms of their own experiences attending Growing Room. And I'm curious to know what some of that feedback might be.
Yeah, so every single year we try and, again, we try and, this is a project in relations, so we try to engage with our authors in a way that isn't just an interaction.
Yeah.
So it's not just, we're going to have you here, do all this labor for us, you know, spill your heart on stage and answer these questions and, like, goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
We do want to follow up and make sure that they're, because, you know, festival come down is also a thing. You know?
Right.
It's a lot of anticipation, anxiety, excitement, and then that happens, and then you're sort of left with all of that at the end. So we do like to follow up and see both with attendees and artists, how their experience was, how it could have been made better, if they needed anything that perhaps wasn't provided or anything like that. And, you know, every single year we have, and we're just a baby festival too, so this feedback is really important for us.
Uh-huh.
And every single year we've got some really wonderful feedback. We've got some great feedback on you know, good experiences, and that's particularly related to, I would say, like, attendee interaction afterwards. So, you know, folks that have gone up to get their book signed,
yeah,
and sort of, like, moments like that that have been really wonderful for authors, where someone's getting their book signed and they're sort of, you know, they're saying how that person's writing has affected them in some way, and that's always really wonderful to hear. And, you know, we've gotten feedback as well in how, you know, something could have been changed or better for the next year, and we take those, that's really wonderful feedback as well, and we've taken those very seriously and make sure to at least talk about them and address what we can do for the following year.
It's a great festival, and as I said, I love what I read on Twitter and Facebook about what you all are doing. So congratulations, continued good luck with it, especially this year.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate your time today. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Absolutely, Joe. Thank you so much for the conversation, and we hope to see you at some events.
Jessica Johns is the managing editor of Room Magazine. Visit roommagazine.com for information on Growing Room 2020. Jessica Johns joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.